Hayley and Harding Ultrasound System is proudly sponsored by Innovate, the UK's best loved trail running company. And this August, it's August, everybody, 2024, we are giving away another pair of their incredible Trailfly trail running shoes. These are the shoes that I wore for the Spine Challenger South back in June. And also, more recently, I wore them at the Lakeland 100. I didn't take the shoes off at all for either race except to change my socks. I didn't swap shoes out. Both races were 108 miles long with a load of vert. Took me over 30 hours. How many blisters did I get? None. How many injuries did I get? None. Because these are the greatest shoes ever made. They're perfect for training runs and longer races on hard ground and slippy, slidey mud. The graphene grip gives a hard-wearing traction on tough trails, stops you skidding on rocks and falling over and all that sort of stuff. And it's they're available in two fits, standard and wide. I cannot go on about these shoes enough. If you have a look at race photos, look at the lead women and men running, and you'll see that the majority of them are wearing these shoes. If you want to win a pair, then head to our Instagram page. The link to the competition is up in the link tree. Enter your details and away you go. Just to remind you, this podcast does contain some sweary language, maybe some adult themes, and possibly some very immature stuff as well. So maybe don't play in the car on the school run. We love you. On with the pod. Welcome to the Bailey and Auburn. Did we go right that time?
Even worse.
Sound System. This is episode 70. And today we're asking the big questions. Does religion have a place in ultra running? What the fuck did Ali do when she went to race direct that Pegasus race? Why is Paul in a child's bedroom? Paul, over to you.
Just to be clear, it's my own child.
Oh, see, you didn't say that when you said I'm in a child's bedroom. I just thought you were in any old child's bedroom.
No, sorry, I'm in the kid's bedroom because I figured that all the teddies and the soft furnishings would absorb the sounds better than being in the wooden box I was in last time. So hopefully it'll sound better this time.
What Paul's done is he's got some sellotape and he's stuck all the teddies to the wall. It's a little bit like that episode of People Just Do Nothing where they try and soundproof the flat by putting egg boxes on the walls. But he's done it with teddies, the Build-A-Bears. Looks good. How are you, Paul? Been a while?
Yeah, good. I'm trying to think. When we spoke last time, I think I'd just done an event. So since then, I've done very little because the kids are on holiday. And so I'm at home effectively full time with the kids. They go and do some little kids camps and things. But yeah, essentially for 6 weeks, I'm held captive by my own children. So
it's quite interesting your setup, isn't it? Because you're home dad.
Yeah, I'm a modern man, Ali. I'm a modern man. Mm. So
I wouldn't go that far.
Wow. So Sophie, my wife, is the one that earns the actual money. And then when they were born, I was teaching. But as a teacher, didn't earn enough money to cover childcare. So I stopped working, stayed at home with them for 3 years or whatever it was. And then since then, I'm sort of like I don't know what the phrase for it is. Default parent, I guess, is the polite way of putting it, in that if something goes wrong at school or something like that, I'm the one that goes to go and get them. When they need to get picked up from school, I go and get them. It's more common, I think, now than it used to be, but it is a bit different.
Do you ever get, what's the deal at the school gates? Do you get, oh, well done. Oh, what a lovely man. Do you get that? Well,
not massively. So to be honest, at school, picking up, it's about 50-50 male, female, or probably, I don't know, 70-30. It's like the start line of an ultra where there's quite a few men about, but it's not equal. Dropping off, it's pretty much equal because you can sort of do it on your way to your normal 9-to-5 office job. When they're babies, though, that's very different. So when I was going to like baby groups, which are quite torturous anyway, I'd be like the only man, and then I'd be the only one with twins. And so I was like a freak show. It was very odd. Like I sort of had to do it to get out of the house because otherwise you go sort of genuinely crazy. But I used to go to a twins club. That was the best one, where you'd go to a baby group where it was just people with twins. So it was nice because they understood just how torturous it was.
Amazing.
Whereas you'd go to a normal one and it's just, yeah, I don't want to.
Did you go to a normal one and hate people with one baby?
No, but
You're just
you
like, you
sort of know.
asshole, you don't even know.
Well, yeah, a bit of that.
It's like going to park run as an ultra runner being like, oh, fuck off, mate. That's not
Yeah, a
hard.
little bit, but then someone from Parkrun telling you how difficult it is,
Exactly.
sort of, and just, but they just sort of looked at me with absolute pity, as though the reason that I was struggling was because I was male rather than
That
because
is the
I
reason
got
you were
two children.
struggling. That is
No, it wasn't.
absolutely the reason, 100%.
Was.
Do you think that you feel, do you feel like you understand the barriers that women face getting into sport more because you lived them? Like time, having the kids, having to
Yeah, I
prioritize
mean,
that.
so my glorious history of running 100 miles was that I tried to do it once when Sophie was 6 months pregnant, knowing that I wasn't going to be able to get a chance to do it for 10 plus years afterwards. Because with two kids that want to do clubs and whatever now, or two babies that need full attention, you can't go and do a 6 hour training run.
I'm
That's
going
how
to
I do it.
actually
I know
say
it's
to
like,
you that you can.
well,
Because I
I'm going
have
to say
clients
to
that do, my
you,
friend. Yes. Like it's not as hard to train for 100 miles as you think. We've had this conversation before. In your, you've got all these limiting beliefs that your brain really enjoys because it means that you can't. And so you don't even try. But I tell you what, I could design you a training plan that would fit around the kids. So no problem whatsoever. I've got two clients with twins.
I don't know them, so I don't
One
want
of
to.
them is a prison officer who works part-time in a prison and also has twins. She has big shifts.
So I'm going to go out on a limb. I'm sure this person's lovely, but I'm going to suggest that they don't muck in as much at home
They're a
as I
woman, so
do.
they do.
Well, they don't have to. It's doing it with doing ultra distance stuff with two kids is very, very, very difficult.
It is, but it is absolutely doable. And I feel like I just want you to commit to me to being your coach because you can do it. You don't have to be doing fucking 6 hour training runs. You don't
No,
have to do that.
so it's different now because mine are going to be like nine soon, and I in the last week or so I've started waking up at sort of like 5 o'clock and going out for a run, which I've quite enjoyed.
I just did that today. Yeah, because I had to, because I can't fit it in any other way.
So I've started doing that a little bit more, but obviously I'm working a little bit less at the moment. I'm having to fit around the kids sort of being at home all the time as well, but it's. I was at a wedding at the weekend. I was chatting to somebody, and they used to do ultras quite a lot, and was pretty decent runner and whatnot. And he was like, "I just don't have the time. Like, you've got two kids. He works full time. They've got two kids that are different ages, doing all different clubs at the weekend. It means your Saturdays and your Sundays are gone, taking them to football, things like that. And it's incredibly difficult. And so when they get older, you can do it, but when they're little, you don't have the mind space. Like it was, I went to go and see Anna the other day, say hello to the baby, just
So
to
did
check out.
I. Don't think you're bloody special.
Oh, so you were local. You didn't come say hello.
I wasn't local. I was driving back from Wales under quite a lot of time pressure. I popped in
All
for
right.
1.5 hours
No,
and
it's
then I got
fine.
back to my house.
It's fine. I mean, she only lives, I don't know, 3 minutes from me, but it's fine. It's
Yeah,
fine.
no. The other thing is, I didn't want to see you, so there was that
Yeah,
as well.
that's all right. No, it's
Yeah,
fine, it's fine.
yeah.
But anyway, like you just sort of remember how hard it is. And you don't know when the end's coming. So that one day that you get some sleep, you're like, well, I might not get any sleep tomorrow, so I'm not gonna then go and run, really. You need to move, but to have like a genuine training plan is quite tricky. But yeah, now they're older, I do have more scope to do things. But it's difficult. It's very difficult when you've got young kids because they don't stay young for long. So you don't want to miss out on all that either. And you sort of the look on their face when you say, "Oh, yeah, I'm going out now." Like they don't like that. So you've
Take him
got to
with
do like an
you.
all
Take him with you. Take him with you. What's wrong with a buggy? A double buggy? What's wrong with a running buggy? What's wrong with getting around their bikes? What's wrong with taking them to a club, letting them play their football and running for an hour around the pitch while they're playing football? What's wrong with dropping them at karate and going using that half an hour that they're in karate to go for a
Okay.
half hour run?
Because until a week ago, the two football clubs they did, I was coaching them at as well because I'm an active father and I
Okay,
like to get
great. So the
involved.
coaching counts as training. So you put that into training plan. What's that,
Hardly.
5K running up and
No, I
down the
stand
side?
there and shout at children. That's
Up and
not
down the
running.
side. See, this is why you need me in your life. Your limiting beliefs are unbelievable. You're like strapped into them. Paul.
I have a very active life. I have lots of
I
time
know you do.
pressures.
And I'm
I
going,
don't
but
mean
I can
actively,
help
like I
you.
move.
But I can help you. I can help
Well,
you.
yeah. But
Fine.
anyway, I'm going to start doing some more stuff. The fact that I've started doing things in the mornings is really helping.
Does anybody here in this room listening to this podcast have any tips, Paul? Or does anybody want to, effectively, we're going to put this up on Instagram. Tips for people who have very young children to fit in the, not even training, but the consistent exercise. So you only need to be doing 20 miles a week.
Yeah, which is like I said, this is what I'm now that I've started just waking up really early, because I used to, before children, I'd do all my exercise really early in the morning anyway. However, I'd do it at sort of about 6 o'clock, which is when I naturally wake up. But the irritation of doing that with small children is that as soon as you make any sort of sound that is around their sort of getting up time, they'll get up as well. And it's only really now that they're sort of old enough to sort of get up and like be safe on their own for a bit while someone else in the house is asleep. So I can, but what I'm doing now is I'm trying to get out before they're at that sort of waking up time.
They got
Sort of
bikes.
boring, but hey.
They got bikes.
Yeah, but unfortunately they bike a bit too quick now. So
That's
I had a
okay. They
friend
can bike
do
a bit too quick, and then you can be like, right, and then you turn around and come back and get me again, and then you go out again. I run with Damien all the time, and that's what he has to do with me. He has to
Yeah.
run far, and then either wait for me or come back again and get me like a
Well,
dog.
that's what I was doing, the biking. That was quite good fun, actually. There was a period where their biking speed was the perfect speed for me to be running with as well. But yeah, going out on the bikes is good. I mean, to be honest, we're recording this the day after the hottest day of the year. So there is
Was
an
it the
element
hottest
of,
day of the year yesterday?
yeah, I think in like Cambridge it got to 34 or something, or 33. So yeah, that's not ideal for me either.
No, but like 5 o'clock in the morning, if you're like, come on, they're, if you wake them up, it's like, come on, guys, get your bike, let's fucking go. Perfect. I tell
Yeah.
you what, if I had children, it'd be like a bloody SAS Who Dares Wins in my house, I swear to God.
But
You
they're
know, there's
just.
bags over their heads if they're naughty, headphones on, crying
But this
babies,
is.
shouting dogs.
And this is
Brilliant.
one of the things, like when we talk about, and lots of people talk about trying to get more women into ultra running. It's fine doing the stuff for the event day, but I don't think the event day stuff is a very small part of the reason that there's less women in ultra running. I
No,
think
yes,
it's the
it
build
is.
up to it.
And do you know what's going to be really interesting and cooler at the running show this year at the Village Green, in the Village Green area? We have got a whole half day of women talking about not just this, but everything. Like, we're going to have like, we're going to call it w Women's Hour, but it won't be an hour. It'll be like 4 hours. And we've got people like Laura Swanson Rebellin and Sam Lasseur. Sam's got three children. She's a doctor. Laura is a nurse in a breast cancer radiology department. She's got two kids, single mother. Like, we're going to talk about how they've managed to do this, because they have managed to do it and they have had fuck all support. So there is ways of doing this. And I think coming and meeting those women and talking to those women about the training, because it is that, you're right, it's the training. It's not the day, is it? Anybody can like get grandma to look after them for one day. It's about like the build up to it that is the thing.
Yeah, and that's like, we do all these things with the toilets and the start line, and that definitely has a place, but that doesn't fix it. Otherwise, we would have fixed it already, because a lot of those sort of like the low hanging fruit we've already done. But it's the training and the cost and things. And yeah, some people can do it. And I'm always amazed by the fact that the top ultra runners, especially on the female side, they're either vets or doctors and they've got kids and they seem to do it all. And I think it's
Watch
a
out.
mentality thing.
Me and Kirsty are actually going to do an investigation into Bailey and Reid Investigates, exclusive, in the next couple of weeks. It's going to be next week, actually, will be jobs of ultra runners. We're going to invest deep dive. We've got a spreadsheet on the jobs of ultra runners.
You've been going on to like company's house to see that they're not real vets. Is that what it is?
Just you wait for what we've uncovered. But yeah, you're right. There's some highfalutin, high-tooting jobs going on there, isn't there? Anyway, let's stop arguing about why you haven't been running. I mean, your excuses come thick and fast.
Oh, I have been running. This is the thing. Like, don't be doing that. Like the last 2 weeks, I've probably run more than I have done in the last 6 months. And I've been going out rucking as well. Are you familiar with rucking?
Rucking,
Rucking.
rutting. You've been out
No,
rutting.
no, no,
Oh.
no. So rucking essentially is walking or running, but while carrying lots of weight. So think of like military yomping or things like that.
So why isn't it just yomping?
I don't know. I think yomping is like a British thing, I think rucking is a bit of an Americanism for them. But out in America, they have these, they have like 100, 200 people events with people just rucking. It's not massive over here.
Rucking hell.
Rucking, it's, yeah, well, there we go.
What the rock? You should
But
do an
it's,
event called What the Rock.
I think they do that in America. I think
That.
it's already been branded out there. Like in America, it's quite a big, like it's not like it's huge, but it's sort of gone beyond cult level, I think. Do I mean cult
Why
level?
have you started rucking? What do you do? What?
Well,
Do you
so
put your
rather than,
children in a bag and just walk
no,
around with
I
them?
used to do that though. So I used to have, I'd have one on the back and one on the front and go walking with them. They were little. I've got a brilliant picture of
Like a
that.
horrendous sandwich board.
Yeah, pretty much
A big
just of me
wriggling
look,
sandwich board.
of me looking miserable in the middle. I'm very tired. Yeah, so it's sort of you go out with the weight on your back, and rather than the excess of the running and the, it's just it's sort of a, I don't know how to describe it really, but like you go out and because you're sort of walking at a decent pace with weight on your back, you get quite tired, you build a bit of strength, but you don't have the sort of absolute tiredness of running, if that makes sense.
But I still don't understand why you're doing it.
Why not? Because I'm getting up in the mornings, so
Why don't you just go for a run?
because I can't run a week really, not at the moment. I hopefully I'll get back to that. But it's just quite nice to sort of get out and have a bit of time on feet, but not do 7 or 8 miles. Instead, just sort of walk quickly for 3 miles.
What are you doing that you could run for five?
Yeah, but I don't want to run every day. And it's
What
good to sort of build a bit of strength in as well, you see. A
are you doing any strength training?
little bit. A little
That's
bit.
man code for no, I'm not doing any.
No. This is so since,
I'm
so I've joined the gym
a
in
coach,
December.
right? I am a coach. When someone says to me a little bit, it means they're not doing any at all. It means occasionally they squat down to pick up a fucking penny off the floor.
No, 2 to 3 times a week I go to the gym. And yeah, but I've been doing that since December. So this is things so I've been doing more sort of gym work than I have running. But in the last 2 weeks, I've started actually running as well.
Have you entered an event?
No, but well,
Right.
I am. It's in the diary. I just haven't actually paid for it. But I'm going to go and do. Have you heard of the drop? We discussed this last time, didn't we?
Yes,
Yeah.
yes.
So I'm going to go and try that in September. And then I need to sign up for an ultra. I think it's probably going to end up being sort of March time next year or
Why don't you do
April.
100 Hills?
Because I'm working, aren't I? It's one of the events I work at.
Yeah, but James sometimes just goes, I'm just going to do it anyway. And he just does it like when he did North Downs Way 50.
Yeah, but that was 13 years later.
James
So
will cover it. It's
in
fine. I'm
13
talking to
years,
him
so
on
what's
Thursday.
that?
I'll just ask him.
In 2036, I'll do
What
it.
about the South Downs Way 10K or whatever it is they're doing? Are they doing a new one on the South Downs Way?
The 50K?
Yeah.
You mean the one I'm race directing?
Okay.
So
I
this is
love the
the
fact that
one.
you stand in a car park with a high-vis jacket and then say that you're the race director.
Excellent. What did you do at the weekend? Last weekend?
Me, I didn't stand in a car park. I was the actual
No.
race director. Yeah.
Ah, okay. So what did you do with Pegasus? Let's get on to that.
I was the actual race director. Anyway, Paul has said that he's going to do the drop in September and then he's going to do something in March. Next time we talk, I want you to tell me what you're doing in March. And if you haven't picked something, I'll pick it for you.
Okay.
I went to so Pegasus are like. The Pegasus Ultra Running are like the Centurion of the of South Wales, except a bit. I mean, Centurion are lovely, but they're quite. You know what you get with Centurion? It's hard. 100 milers, 50 milers, 150K, and it's all. It's not to be messed about with. Good cutoffs. You know, there's cutoffs you have to meet and all that sort of stuff.
They're
Centurion,
races.
yeah, they're
That's how
races.
I
They're races. That's the difference. They're races. Whereas Pegasus are like cuddly South Wales. Like Welsh cake toting, wonderful people, right? And they're welcoming and kind of centurion, they're kind and welcoming, but they're races. Whereas Pegasus are more like events, okay? And so they don't have any cutoffs. They have no cutoffs, and they do everything from like 30 milers to 200 milers. So they do the Wild Horse, which is 200, Epona, which is 100. Then they've got 50, Edinburgh, which is 50. And then they've got all the six races in the Grand Slam, which are like 50 and under, so 30 to 50. Now, the thing is, although they are very nice Welsh cake toting, Welsh mama, kuching wonder beasts, their races are fucking hard. and they don't really tell you that. So people think, oh, this will be all right. There's no cutoffs. It must be a really easy race, but it's not a fucking easy race. And they do them in places like, well, they do them all in the Brecon Beacons, Black Mountains, you know, the Wild Horses from Chepstow to Rossilly across the entire Black Mountain range. Epona's the same, like across the top of the Black Mountains and then down, you know, Pennyfan, all that sort of stuff. And the one that I race directed, the Edam, was in the Seney Bridge training area, military training area, which is like a MOD piece of land that they took over in, I think, World War II, just in the middle of World War I, start of World War II. They chucked everybody off the land and they were like, this is ours now. We're going to train people here. And in the middle of the Seney Bridge training area, there was a big red coloured in bit that just says danger area and you're not allowed to go in it. But then around the outside, they had to give back a bit of land to the people because there was this massive uproar of the fact that they'd like uprooted all these people. They were like, okay, look, we're going to give you a public right of way. We're going to call it the Epant Way and you can have it. And it runs all the way around the outside of the training area. It's 50 miles. So that's where the Edam is based, on the Epant Way, right? So this year for their Grand Slam, their six races, Pegasus basically were like, there are hardly any female race directors in the UK. So we want all of our races to have a female race director. And they asked some incredible female ultra runners and names in the sport to come and race direct for a day, a bit like work experience. and they said to me, would you do it? And I went, yeah, of course I'll do it. And they were like, which one do you want to do? And I was like, I'll just do the Edam. They were like, you sure? It's quite long. And I was like, it's fine. It's the only one I can fit in, but it is 50 miles. Okay. It's a 50 mile race with, again, no cutoff. So that's what I did. I'm just trying to find the list, the race directors list, so I can tell you who else was been race directing. But I know that Mimi did it, Mimi Anderson. And I know that a couple of the women from, she runs Cardiff, Nikki Love, she's done it. Hannah Phillips has done it. Yeah, there's loads of really great women, but I chose this bloody, the longest one. Right, so who have we got? Yeah, Nikki Love, Trina, Groovy, who works for, she runs Cardiff, me, Memes, Anna. Fucking hard work, isn't it, Paul?
Well, it's long. I mean, so when you say, so the no cutoffs thing, I always get nervous of, just because you've got no idea how long that last person's going to be.
And the problem is, well, it wasn't a problem, but it's quite an interesting conundrum. They don't have trackers. So they have trackers on the 200 and the 100, but they don't have them on the smaller races.
Yeah.
They have checkpoints and they have, with the Edam, they've got a military guy who's at the back of the race watching. You never see him, you never meet him, but he keeps an eye on everybody, right? Because he's like, I don't want you wandering into the danger area. Also, we're doing naughty things up here we don't want you to see. And so we've always in contact with them. So we had a couple of people go, of course. One of them ended up doing 3 miles in the back of a military vehicle because they've gone so far, of course. Being driven back basically by the army. But we don't, there's no trackers, right? And so it's very difficult for you to know when they're coming in.
Yeah.
They're ticked off at every checkpoint. They've all got a clip where we know exactly where they are. We've got a sweeper, there's a sweeper. We can, so we know where everybody is. We don't lose people, right? But for a race director, it's really difficult, especially in the last 7 or 8 hours, whether you've got the dribs and drabs of people coming in.
Yeah.
And you know people are coming, but you've got no fucking idea where they are. It was just painful. But it was, it did show me how, I mean, I understand how hard race directors work, but you know, I got up, I got to the start at 5 a.m. I didn't leave the end until 8 a.m. the next morning. And I didn't go to sleep and I didn't go anywhere. And I ate food that was just yellow, that was pizza and fucking burgers. Yeah. And I had to be, this sounds awful, I had to be nice to everybody, and you can't lose your shit and you can't go, oh, just everybody fuck off and leave me alone for a minute. And you've got to be wonderful the whole fucking time. But you've also got to deal with, you know, problems as they come up. And Reese and Kerris, who run Pegasus, who are the race directors, were there. They were dealing with the nitty gritty stuff, getting in vehicles to go and help people that were hurt and all that sort of stuff. They have medics and all that. But when it came to the public face of the event, that was me. And, you know, setting up the end, setting up checkpoints, working on the first checkpoint, you go get into the first checkpoint, I had to set the whole fucking thing up. I had to boss everybody around, which I'm very good at. And then we had to take it all down, put it in the vehicle, go to the next checkpoint. Like, it's a lot, isn't it? It's just a fucking lot. And it did make me realize how hard these race directors work. And when you think about the amount of money that they're charging for entries, especially Pegasus, it's like, fuck me, that's hardly anything for the amount of work that is going into this. And I haven't even got to the point where I'm like, oh, you paid for toilets, you paid for food, you paid for gazebos, you paid for like medics. I'm just thinking about my time, which I gave because I love Pegasus and because I want to help them. But it was just fucking such hard work. And I did love it and I really enjoyed it. But if I was going to do it again, I'd probably have a second in command just so I could have 3 or 4 hours sleep, because it was just exhausting. Fucking exhausting.
That's why when it comes to Centurion, you'll never see, well, I say never, you won't see me at 100 miler for any time soon, because I can't stay up that long. So say sort of like the North Downs Way 100 that was just on, that starts, I think, at 7 a.m. So that means that they'll be getting up, well, they'll be at the venue from about 5 o'clock. So they're sort of getting up at 4:30. And then
they're not even getting up at 4:30. They're getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning. Because you get up, you pack your car. Well, I had to get up at 3 o'clock in the fucking morning to get all my shit together, have my breakfast. Because you've got to look after yourself properly, be awake enough to be able to go and stand at 5 o'clock in the morning and be the public face of this fucking thing. Like, those volunteers are coming from far and wide. Like, it's mad.
Yeah. So you're up early, you're there, and then the race carries on till midday the next day. So, like, James and Drew and Nikki require virtually no sleep and can go all the way through until the lunchtime, pack everything down, drive everything back, and they can sort of function on that. I can't function on that. When we do the North Downs Way 50, that is I think that might be a 3:45 alarm, I think. And then, like, everyone's finished by 8:30. But by the time we've sort of packed everything down, it's about 9:30. I get into my van and I just fall asleep, like, pretty much 5 miles from the finish, because I just can't function. Because, like I say, you're on the whole day.
Mm.
So whether you're, I mean, which is the Pegasus one, like a circuit? So it's a circular route.
It's a circular route, yeah.
But you're out on course, sort of going around and doing bits.
Yeah. So so I did the race briefing and then I got in the van, went straight to checkpoint one, set up checkpoint one with the volunteers. Tick people into checkpoint one, every single person into checkpoint one, gave them all a kiss and a pat on the head, and then took the checkpoint down, put it back into the vehicle, puts the food from checkpoint one into the vehicle for checkpoint three, to take the food to checkpoint three, set up checkpoint three, make sure checkpoint four is being set up, and then the food from checkpoint two will have to be taken from checkpoint two to checkpoint five, the last checkpoint, make sure that's set up. It's like a logistical, like, game of, like, Connect Four, isn't it? And it's like, and then it's like, where are these people? Have they turned up? Where are the vehicles? There's no phone reception. Like, you know, have they got what they need? Have they run out of stuff? And then you've got the, how are the competitors doing? Who's at the front of the pack? When are they going to come in? Like, you know, it's just a real load of thinking about everything, but at the same time, not losing your shit. And one of the things that I really admire about Keris and Rhys and James and Nikki and you, to a point, is the calmness, like the absolute calm. Like, there's never any panic. It's all absolute calm. And it's like, that's pretty impressive. It's taught me a lot about being more calm and, like, not freaking out about stuff. I think that everyone listening to this, if you are a runner, you know, when we talk about what makes a good runner, I think what makes a good runner is someone that has volunteered at least once a year for a race. Like, you have to go and volunteer. It's as important to volunteer for race companies as it is to go and race your own races. First off, you learn loads. But secondly, if there aren't these volunteers giving their time, there is no fucking racing. Like, we need them. Like, I was so grateful to those volunteers. And I spent a long time at the end by myself. There was a big tranche of time between probably 11 o'clock and 2 o'clock in the morning where I was on my own. And then the people from Checkpoint 5 turned up. Thank God they turned up, because it was just having other human company in the park. It was nice. And then obviously...
Are you literally on your own?
Yeah.
Like, there's no one else there with you?
Not really, no. And then Damien turned up at like 2 o'clock in the morning to make bad tea.
Yeah.
And that was horrendous because I was trapped with him. But it was like just... You just need, well, the reason I asked Damien to come along was because I was like, you never see this end of the race. And I think it's important as a coach for you to see this end of the race. You don't see these people because you've gone home and had a shower and gone to bed, and you're actually coaching these people. So it's important to see them. I think all coaches, especially the high end ones that are quick and like that talk to these people, but never see them, need to see that. And so they can understand it. because you know the last person came in, Mimi came in at not Mimi, Millie came in at 20, nearly 24 hours she'd been out there, which is fucking an incredible feat of endurance. She hadn't gone to sleep; she just kept trucking. And her and Terry, both of them, like absolutely incredible. I couldn't have stayed out that well. I could have stayed out that long, but I would have been in a fucking bad mood about it. But they were just so like up, and yeah, it's just incredible how much work goes into this stuff. That was a 50-mile race. Think about 200-mile races. Think about the Winter Downs. Think about the spine, like having worked on the spine, and there's like hundreds of volunteers moving convoy, like some sort of like military operation. That's why you pay that much money for the spine. Like it's
It's such a, like, when you just turn up and race and you sort of run along and you're not really paying attention to what's going on around you, it's quite easy to think, oh, I could have just, didn't need to pay all this. This is stupid. They're not even close to road. But there's so much more that's involved. And sort of like, again, I mean, I only really have the experience with Centurion when it comes to these bigger things, but there's sort of 10 or 12, sometimes more, members of staff that are working, because sort of like, so how many people start in the Pegasus, like roughly,
we had
like,
125 runners,
right, okay,
and then we probably had, I reckon, 20 volunteers.
yeah, okay, so it's sort of decent numbers. But with the Centurion stuff, they've got sort of a whole team that are just doing the aid stations. They're packing all that down, got a whole team doing the start and the finish, let alone like all the stuff beforehand. There's just so many people involved to make it seem smooth. And you go to the events, you're like, well, it's easy, isn't it? You just put some tables up and some jelly babies out.
That is
Easy.
why you fucking need to go and work on them. So I remember a couple of
Exactly.
years ago at the Ultra 100, I was on backdrop duty. I love backdrop duty. I really enjoy backdrop at the Ultra 100 because I'm quite bossy and I like to put bags in order and tell people off having wheelie suitcases
Yeah.
and go through their bags, see what's in there. So
We don't do that, just to be clear.
I do. So suddenly Nikki was like, oh my God, checkpoint one. The person that's supposed to be doing the shopping just hasn't turned up. There's no shopping, there's no person, and then we can't get through to them on their phone. And me and another girl were like, hold our tea, got in my car, skidded around to Tesco, did a full shop, threw it all in the car, straight up to checkpoint one, chucked it at them, like, quick, they're gonna be here in like 20 minutes. And they fucking made sandwiches and like built this checkpoint. It's that stuff that you don't see. It's like, fuck, there's a real big problem here. We need to sort it out. Nobody was any the wiser. The same thing happened at Pegasus. There's things happening where you're like, fuck, we need to sort this out right now. And it just gets sorted out. At Skiddaw, I was at Grand Tour of Skiddaw at the weekend, which is Nikki Griffin is the race director. She also works for Centurion. And that's 44, they say 44, it's 48-mile race from Dalston round up and over Skiddaw and then back again, right? They were let down by their caterers. They were let down by the tea people. They were let down by everybody because it was a Dalston show that weekend. So obviously the caterers were like, fuck it, we're going to the Dalston show. But they promised people hot food, tea and coffee and a bar. All of them let them down. But instead of there being like a complete meltdown, they set up a tent outside. Sharon, Nikki's partner, and Mel Sykes, who came third at the Spine Challenger South this year, set up a hot dog stand, making hot dogs. And like, and Mel was buttering buns all day, and Sharon was making the hot dogs. Karen Webber from Timing Monkey was the landlady on the bar. She was just stood there selling all the beers while Matt went and did the timing. Like, there were people. Brad was making the teas and coffees. We got some urns. We might just make it instant teas and coffees. Everybody chipped in to make it work. Nobody was any really the wiser. Nobody complained. Like, that's the magic of it, isn't it? And that's what
Yeah.
you don't see, that scrambling, and you
No.
don't see that community. And I think that's being part of that makes you so much more grateful as a runner, but also much more almost like coherent as a, like, you just notice things more, don't you? And you also
Yeah.
have respect for the company and the race that you're doing. You don't treat people like shit, especially when you get tired. You just have so much respect for what they do if you've been a part of it. And it's super good fun. You make loads of really good friends, right? As well. Like, it's brilliant. You feel like you're part of the fabric of the community. So I loved it. Would I do it again? Not that race. It's too much. It was too long. If I did do it again, I'd take a second in command. I might take Lorna with me and be like, Lorna, let's split this between us so that I can have a nap, you can have a nap. And like, so, and also so I have some company, because it was very interesting, like just waiting for those people to come in.
Yeah, it's hard, especially if doing it sort of effectively doing it blind, where you've got trackers. If you had them on trackers, you'd be like, oh, okay, they're going to be here in an hour. I'll go and whatever. Whereas when you're just doing it without trackers, it's quite tough. And as much as I don't think this is controversial, but as much as like you really want those people towards the back to do really well and have a brilliant race, when you're waiting like an hour and a half between those runners, it's like, God, I wish you'd just all come in together. Like
Oh my
it's a
God,
very
there was so
long
much like, where the
time,
fuck
isn't
are
it?
you? Yeah, and it's like, can I get in the car and have an hour's kit? No, because they might suddenly come over the hill and then there won't be anyone here. So, I think next time, I think Reese is considering the tracker thing. And I think it's partly cost, but it's also partly, he's never operated like that. Some people do, some people don't. They've got eyes on the ground, it's all good. But, I think that for the longer ones, probably for the best. But the other thing is, even with trackers, so at Skiddaw, there were trackers and I was emceeing. So I was having to announce people coming over the line, which meant looking at the tracker, looking at their name, and being like, right now, next over the line, we've got this person. But the trackers jump, don't they? And so you have someone, and so it's dark, and there's someone running in. You're like, oh, this is Marie like Davidson, and she is like, rah, 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 and suddenly you look at the bloke coming in, and it's not Marie Davidson. You're like, shit, the trackers jumped. It's actually James Smith, who's like jumped over the top. So there's a lag on them. You have to keep an eye on the times. And then I get all like obsessed when they're a kilometer out, but actually they're not a kilometer out, they're going to be here any second. So but it is a little bit better because at least you can see those big gaps. At least you know where you can go to the fucking toilet. Because I was like, I can't even go to the toilet because I'm scared. Suddenly, it was like a park that they finished in. So I came around a corner. I couldn't even see like headlamps coming over the hill. It was very interesting. And I loved it. It was great, but it was a lot. And it's fucking hard work. And I'm tired.
But that's why it's good as well. So if you were on your own, that's probably not the best planning. Whereas with when you finish, I mean, even the Big Bear ones, but especially the Centurion ones, there's a sort of like a team of 10 people there. And so if one of you isn't there, it doesn't really matter. So that's why I think it's one of the reasons that sort of when the race directors at all the Centurion events, whether it's me or James or the others, we don't tend to sort of get heavily involved in the giving out of medals and so on. Then you don't want somebody to be like, oh, well, he obviously doesn't think I'm important because he was giving it to that. So it's like, no, the volunteers can do that part. That's fine.
I
And
always demand that James gives me my medal and I stand there and I wait for him to get back from wherever he is. Sometimes for 45 minutes that he'll give me my
there we go.
bucket. Yeah,
Isn't
personally.
this? And this is why we don't do it for everyone, because it just because even if you like, by the time the people are coming to the finish, there's some people are still 20 miles, 30 miles. I mean, on the 200, 100 miles down the field,
I
and so you've got to get out to them potentially. There's things going on that aren't at the finish. Once
Yeah.
that first runner's got to the finish, you know the course is all right, or it was when they came anyway, and so you can breathe a sigh of relief. But you then effectively, there's no point in you staying there because you don't really need to see people finish. It's nice, but in terms of actually getting the job done, you need to be down on the course where things might be going wrong, and you don't want to be tied into one place.
You
It's
know what
very
the best
difficult.
thing that went wrong at Skiddaw was? This is fucking brilliant. Mickey Griffin came up to me and was like, I need to leave. I'm like, why? Because she was at the finish. She was like, I need to go to checkpoint five because two hunting dogs have broken into the checkpoint and are eating all the food.
Bloody hell. But I've
Pointers are just bulged in. Oh, there's a video of them just eating all the food at the checkpoint.
I would be I know you said about being calm and collected, but I would be losing my shit with somebody about that.
And they were hunting dogs. They were just out. They were like, oh, look, actually, let's not chase a pheasant. Let's fucking go and eat this. It's much easier to eat crisps.
I
Perfect.
suppose they probably just let them go, right? Like out the field, find stuff.
And these two were just lads who were like, oh, do you know what? Let's go down Coldbeck aid station because there's some crisps and biscuits in there. And it was quite funny because the volunteers were trying to get them out. They were good dogs. They weren't like savages. It's not like they were like fucking savaging the place. But Nikki did have to go down to sort it out. And I did think the footage was quite funny. Pickle, it's the sort of thing Pickle would do.
That's not great. And I mean, I didn't know that lots of people had let her down in terms of the catering and things. And that's the other problem is you get people, you pay for people to come and do things, and until they turn up on the day, and that's the sort of thing. I know Nikki's obviously handled it and it's not been an issue for her, hopefully, but that's the sort of thing at other events where the toilet company let you down and suddenly it's your fault and your event's rubbish because another company just hasn't turned up.
And actually, like, the way Nikki handled it was incredible, because she sent emails out to all the competitors saying, this has happened. We're really sorry. We're going to try our best, but it's best that you cater, you know, because there's a campsite and it's a co-op and there's fish and chips down in Dalston. So she'd given plenty of notice on, like, this is really annoying. This, and we had veggie burgers and we had sausages and we had some other things. But the way that everybody, including the participants, just dealt with it was incredible. Honestly, at the end there was a big fire pit and it was four people deep. Everyone was sat around the fire pit eating their little sausages in their baps, drinking their rubbish instant tea and coffee, having a proper laugh, having beers from, you know, Karen's beer little pub, the Doghouse, and it was just a joy to see. I don't think there was anybody there that was a dickhead. I actually think that sort of spit in the sawdust, or we're all gonna have to like muck in here to make this work, really made it a bit kind of, it was kind of more cozy. Like, it was kind of, it was just lovely. It really was such a good event. Next year they are going to reduce the course to a 50k, because there's this ridiculous out back, this is Skiddle by the way, there's this ridiculous out back that makes it, it's like an 8 mile out, 8 mile back along the river. It's rubbish. They're going to do it just from Caldbeck, so it'll be 50 miles from Caldbeck straight up Skiddaw, High Pike Skiddaw, down again. Yeah, 50k, and then a 20 miler that doesn't go up Skiddaw. So there'll be an option to do one around the bottom of Skiddaw, and that'll be a, it's just such a good race. So I think entries open in October, and again, on, because we're friends of Nikki, we'll have a discount code for the Grand Tour Skiddaw. And it was great. But what I want to ask you is, where do you get your volunteers from? Like, do you struggle with getting volunteers? Like, because you have races in the week.
Yeah, sometimes. So I'm very lucky. I've got sort of a few people, or a couple of people that volunteer at virtually all of the events, which is brilliant. So Mary's great. She's volunteered maybe at, I want to say 25 or more, probably 25 or 25 times in the last 30. She's been at the event, so she's brilliant. And then I've got Joe and Steph, they volunteer at a load as well. And I've got some people that are sort of pretty regular, so they'll volunteer maybe three or four times a year. And then every now and then we add in just a couple of extras. So before I set the company up, that was the my big thing, was like, where do you get people that want to sort of like come and give their time? But the beauty of my events is I only really need a couple. I mean, technically, so my mum and dad volunteer at every event, and they've been to all 100 plus events I've done, so they're technically volunteers, but you know, they're essentially staff. So I only really need five people there. And it's difficult, the problem with volunteers is, or having volunteers as well, is you don't want to have too many, because then people stand around thinking they're not doing anything, but then if you don't have enough and something goes wrong, you're then screwed. So it's about trying to find that sort of magic balance. So I only really need three people for each event. So it's not too bad for me. But then when I do some of my bigger ones, like these Trail Fest ones at the weekend, I need sort of like 20 odd people for that. And so you end up just sort of asking quite a lot. But what I don't like doing is I always find it, I guess, slightly off-putting when you see companies continuously putting sort of public posts out saying we need volunteers, or
because it's like, why can't you retain your volunteers,
right? Or we've got an event on Saturday and we're five people short, and you're thinking, oh, is it not gonna happen? Like, it's not a great look. So I have a separate Facebook group for the volunteers, or people that might potentially want to volunteer. So I'll promote that every couple of months, but it's in there that I sort of put out the shit, three people have dropped out for the weekend, can somebody help? Because that feels more like a private group that know what's going on, rather than a public facing, you know, we've got no staff to open the shop today. Like, that's not the best look for a company. If you sort of have that mentality to it. But it's very, I find it I guess unsurprising but funny that My events generally are about 50-50 split male-female. Fine. The longer you go into the ultras, it gets more to a standard male-female split. But they're very gender equal, my events. But when it comes to volunteering, it's probably 80-20, 90-10 for female to male. So the women do all the volunteering.
That's not just race volunteering. That's volunteering across the board in the world.
I'd imagine that's true. But it's I fully agree. I think I've said before how my first introduction to ultra running was volunteering at Bluebell Hill in 2014 for North Downs 800, and that was eye opening. I mean, stupidly I thought I could to do it, and it looked like I'd be fine. But you get such a different viewpoint from it, and it's fun, it's rewarding. You know, you get loads of karma from it.
You get to see like the sharp end of the field. I think that's one of the best bits, because I never get to see the sharp end of the race. When I've done the spine, and when I've done North Downs Way, when I was in Detling at that aid station, and when I've done anything with Centurion, seeing that sharp end come through is so exciting, because it's so fucking fast and they're just so amazing. And that's really exciting. But then also the camaraderie and the banter that you get with everybody else is incredible. And you fucking learn what to do, what not to do. Like, you make friends with your fellow volunteers who you'll definitely see at other races. It's just the best, isn't it? Like, it's almost better than racing.
It's good fun. And also, normally you get a free entry to the event for next year or something. Most companies will try and sort of sweeten the deal, as it were. But I do think it's a good way to get involved. And I would imagine, I can't speak from experience, I suggest, but if I went to volunteer at my local town 10K, I'd be stuck on a corner for 2 hours going, well done, runner, well done, runner. Whereas when you go and volunteer at an ultra, you actually get involved in things. There's very few. So like with my events and with Centurion, there might be 100 people at a Centurion event, and two of them will be involved in having to direct a runner around a corner or something on like a busy road or something. But the majority of those roles are in the aid station. You're chatting to sort of different people. It's just quite good fun. It definitely is something that people should do more. But I
think people should get the given points, you know, like UTMB points, but they should be given volunteer points. So like every year they should have to get like between 5 and 10 volunteer points to be able to enter big races.
Well, I mean, that's sort of like, so Parkrun do the volunteer thing well, because they sort of really reward their volunteers as much as they sort of reward the runners and celebrate the people that volunteer, because like they struggle. I mean, they're sort of a victim of their own success, really, in that if you've got, I mean, When I first started doing parkrun in the early days, and I had to drive an hour to get to my local one. And then by the time, like 3 years later when we moved, I could run to 4 from home, which means that you sort of, all those volunteers.
Is there a parkrun in your child's bedroom every Saturday now?
No. Oh, they went. We went to do junior parkrun with them the other week, which is 2K, I think. Yeah, 2K. And my daughter, who's very sporty, she went off leading the thing, and then within 150 meters stopped and said her tummy hurt, and we went home. I mean, she didn't have to win it at all, but to make the effort to go over there to sort of wait and everything, and she does 150 meters.
You know what she needs to do? Go and work on an aid station. Put her on North Downs Way, Detling. Put her on that for 12 hours, and then she'll see what happens when people's tummies hurt.
So she's come, nice, but she has come and helped out. They love helping out at my events. But obviously, they're during the school time.
Do they love it?
Yeah, they do.
They love it, Paul. How long do they love it for? 10 minutes? 20?
Well, this is the problem, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's difficult for us to sort of get the kids there, but be able to then get them away, because it is. Like, they'd love to come along for 20 minutes, but then they get bored, and then we just need to get them home before they annoy me, because I have to work.
You could tie them to a tree, or I've got a dog crate you can borrow if you want.
Well, I want to try and do kids races, like as in a kids race at my weekend at those Trail Fest events, just do like a little 1 mile event. Because having seen the,
oh my god, do you remember the Wendover one?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh my god! So at Wendover, everybody, the Wendover Woods fantastical display of gloriousness last year, which will happen again. There was a kids race. It was a mile?
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh my god! And like it was. Everybody, even the most hardened people in the field. I was marshalling. They put me on a fucking high visibility jacket and made me direct children around a corner. And I was like, this is bullshit. I'm going to trip them all up or throw marbles on the floor. But it was so adorable that actually I almost started crying. Like the joy, the absolute joy, like children running because they just love running. Everyone should watch that because that's how we should be. We should be more like that, shouldn't we? God, it was so amazing.
Yeah, it's nice. And it's I'm trying to think if we mentioned this last time, but my daughter, well, actually both kids went and did. I did a 10K, did I not? Did I mention that bit? That's the first race that I've done since doing Long Course Weekend last year, last June. So I'm on the comeback trail, but they had a kids race at that event as well. And so my kids did a mile, 2K, I don't know what it was, something like that. And but they loved it. And I thought, this is sort of easy. I should do this. But it's difficult to do it in the woods because you need to have sort of like visibility between each marshal to make sure that they don't like jump into the woods or get snatched by a bear. So it's tricky on, so it's Salty Forest where I'd planned to do it. There's so many corners and bends and things. You'd have
Could
to
you
have
not
about
say that they have
4,000
to have their
markers.
parent with them?
No, that's the joy of it, is that you just sort of dump your kids at night. So I think I ran with my little boy and Heidi, and daughter, she just went. But the joy is that you know they're pretty safe because they're sort of, well, this was sort of essentially in a farm, so there's nowhere else they could go. Whereas at Salty Forest, there's loads of places they can go, and losing children in the woods isn't the best
Is it frowned
thing.
upon?
Yes, it's
Okay.
not great. It makes getting permission the year after slightly tricky.
You know where you do the swan challenge?
Yes,
That's a bit easier, isn't it? The
they
kids race.
all of them are. All of the other venues that I use would be better. But midweek, like I can't, it won't work midweek. So it's got to
But
be
it
a
won't
Monday.
work. It'll only work in summer holidays anyway, or school holidays, won't it?
But or on a Saturday or Sunday. So the ones that I do on, the ones where I do the 10K half marathon, marathon, 50K, then chuck a kids race in at some point, is quite good. Like it just makes the
You could.
no.
I was now we're having a marketing meeting live on the podcast. You could chuck a kids race in at the end of the day when it's school pickup time, so that people come to pick up their mums. Then like a big kids race. They can come straight from school and do one.
Yeah, I could do.
Admit it. That's genius.
Well, sort of, but we go home at about 3:30,
Yeah,
whereas
because you're
kids
lazy
pick up then.
fuckers.
Well, been there early. But it'd be good to do things like that. It's nice doing the little kids races because you're there anyway. A lot of the kids get dragged along, and they're bored, so it's nice to give them something to do, just to sort of mix it up a little bit.
Well, this has been fun, hasn't it, everybody, talking about volunteering. I hope that you're suitably, what's that word? Inspired to go volunteering. I'm going to put a post up on Instagram saying, tell us about a great volunteer experience you've had or a race that you'd recommend volunteering at. My favourite at the moment is Spine, because that is a project. When you go and volunteer at the Spine, it's a whole week project and it's exciting. And I love it. There's so many different things you have to do. But I think if a race is good and it's a bit like Centurion, then you have to get on a waiting list to be a volunteer, don't you? You have to wait to be picked to be the volunteer. Like, it's not like they choose you, you don't choose them. And I think that's the point that Centurion and Spine are both at. Like, they will pick you. And if you get picked, it's like, yes, I'm picked. So excited. And also Pegasus events are incredible. And it was a great weekend because it was sunny. So if it would have been pissing down with rain, I'm sure that my race director would have been a very different story. But it was
How long
good.
have they been going for, Pegasus? Have they been around for a while?
I'd say 4 or 5 years. I'm sure we still listen to this and be like, no, Ali, but not that long. But honestly, they are so brilliant. Like, really, but don't underestimate the courses because the courses are fucking hard. I'll tell you what else Pegasus do. They do workshops throughout the year. So this year, I think they did five workshops and they're all based out of Perth Pier Bunkhouse at the bottom of Table Mountain. They're brilliant. They do like an Epona one, they do a Wild Horse one. And it doesn't matter if you're not doing the event because you still get something out of it. They do trail running for beginners. It's so good. And you all sleep in the bunkhouse and you go out on these runs and they're guided runs. Anyone's welcome. You get fast people, slow people, middle people. And you learn a lot. And I would say that because I fucking go and work there and do some workshops. But it's fucking cool. Like, they're just such a great company. I really, really like them. I love them, in fact.
I hadn't heard of them until you did the 200, and then they seem to sort of be, they seem to be everywhere. So I didn't know if it was just my lack of knowledge or if they were quite new. But if
I
there's
think
something
you'd
four or
really
five
like
years.
them, and it's good. I think you should go and do one of their races because you could go and do a 30 miler, you know, like, and that's just a day, isn't it? And then you can, and because it's Wales, you can take the missus and the kids. You're only out for a day, and it's beautiful, so they can come and support. It's just a nice place to be. I just fucking love it there. It's just amazing.
I'm thinking
Anywho.
Skiddaw next year. That's what I was trying to work
Really?
out if it's a bit shorter.
Yeah, and they'll be camping and stuff as well, like there usually is. So
Yeah.
it'd be fun.
And then it might be a week in the lakes. Try and
Yeah.
get it up there.
Yeah, it's going to be
No.
the set week of the seventh weekend of the 17th of August, which is my birthday.
Oh, there we go.
So last thing I want to talk to you about, because you mentioned this, you sent me a voice note saying we need to talk about the priest at Lakeland 100.
Yes.
Where did you hear about the priest at the Lakeland 100?
You said about it.
Oh, is that where you first heard about it? You hadn't heard
Yeah,
from
yeah,
someone
yeah.
else?
No.
So I sort of mentioned this when I talked about Lakeland 100, right? But the more I've thought about it, the more it's disturbed me. There was at the briefing, there's a big, these briefings that are like renowned for being like funny, hilarious briefings. There's 800 people in the briefing, the 800 participants of the 100. And there's Mark, the race director. And la la la, lots of banter, et cetera, et cetera. It goes on for an hour, this fucking briefing. And it's mainly just dad jokes. And then, by the way, this is the rules. Oh, and then here's some more dad jokes. And then suddenly he said that he was up on the hill and he was like thinking about the race and he got all poetic and start. And when he got home, he wrote down this like poetry about how lucky we were to run, et cetera, et cetera. And he realized, and it made him cry because it was that wonderful, like right, him writing it down. I was like, there's got to be a joke here somewhere. He's gonna take the piss. He's gonna read it out and it'll be shit. And he was like, and then, a couple of days later, I was out in Kentmere, which is where one of the checkpoints is, and I noticed a guy. He was wearing trail running kit, but also a dog collar, and he was a turns out he was a priest. I started talking to him, and he was a runner, and I spoke to him about this thing that I'd written, and I said to him, "It's almost kind of like a prayer, you know." And the checkpoint at Kentmere is right near the church, and he was like, "So I've invited him along to." I was like, "This has got to be a joke." I invited him here to read out what I wrote. Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for the priest. And he came out. The priest came out in a dog collar, a pair of shorts, and a pair of X talons, right? And I'm like, this has got to be a joke. It has to be a joke, right? He got up on the stage. We were in a school hall, sat cross-legged on the floor. I was having post-traumatic, I was getting PTSD. I was like, what the fuck is going on? And then this priest or vicar, whatever he was, gets out the thing that Mark's written and is like, basically says something along the lines of, I know that not all of you are religious, but running can be quite a religious experience for a lot of us. And I'm like, what the fuck? And he's like, I'm going to read out what Mark's written, and if any of you want to bow your heads. This is very uncomfortable because I wanted to leave. I don't like organized religion. I'm an atheist and I just don't like it. I've got a lot of problems with it, right? And I'm like, I thought this is a safe space. Running is a safe space away from politics and religion and all that bullshit. But I couldn't because I was like sat in the middle of the school hall. It was like being at school, like you were being forced into like looking at your crotch as you were like sat cross-legged. And then he fucking starts reading it. And it's just like, and I couldn't concentrate on any of it because I was like, I just want to leave. And then he was like, and if you want to just, take a moment at the end, and if you want to just say the word amen, you're more than welcome. And then everybody said amen and then had a clap, and then he was like, and if any of you need a moment, want to come to me, I will be in my church at the aid station at Kentmere. You can come in, talk to me whenever you want, I'll be there for you. And I was like, what the fuck is this? And we all left the hall, and I think we're all a bit like, what was that? And I've been thinking about it a lot since. And I just feel like it was a bit out of order.
A
Like it was a
bit,
bit much.
yeah,
Because,
that's really odd.
what do you think about it? Like, you said to me you want to talk about it. Like, I just feel
Well,
like it's like there's, if we're trying to make ultra running inclusive and include everybody and like increase diversity and make everyone feel comfortable, I'm not sure bringing secular religion into a briefing is the way to do that.
it's a very, it, but it, then it's even stranger that so if you're heavily religious, then that's great for you. And I guess maybe you think that you could start with a prayer, but he's not even started with a prayer. He's just got somebody that's a vicar, say, to read out his poem, right? So it's
Which
not
he
even
said
like,
was a bit like a prayer. He was like, it felt like a prayer.
yeah, but that's because, like, all poetry is, if you say in a church, right? That's all prayers are, is just a poem, right? I think.
Yeah.
I
Like,
mean,
I
that's
worship
how.
at the Church of Biffy Clyro.
Yeah.
So.
But that's what I mean. Like, if you said it and you wore a dog collar and you said it sort of like in that tone and you sort of paused at the end of everyone, it's a prayer, isn't it?
Yeah, you could even do it with the lyrics from Rage Against the Machine. If you say it
Yeah.
in the right words, fuck you, I won't do what you tell me, then it sounds a bit like a prayer.
Fuck you. I won't do as you tell me. Like, but
Anyway, yeah.
amen. Like, it's fine. There's, you put amen at the end of anything. It's a prayer, isn't it? But yeah, that's really strange. Like, fine, if you want to read your poem out, that's still a bit odd. But if that's
I
the
thought the
deal.
poem was going to be funny, but it wasn't funny. It was like proper deep poem.
Yeah. That
And
might
there was a
be
lot of
me,
like,
is
we
it?
find ourselves on the hill. We see ourselves truly on the hill. Like, it was like, oh my God. Like, I don't fucking need this. Like, I just not now. Not now. Like, we could all have those thoughts to ourselves. I just thought it was strange. And the other thing is, because I'm not involved in the Facebook groups, I don't go on any of the Facebook groups for any of the big events because they are. They wind me up, they freak me out, they're just fucking full of absolute willy wagging knobheads.
Yeah.
I don't know what the feedback on this priest was, if there was any, because I'm not going to go and look. But it just made me feel very, very uncomfortable. And in hindsight, I wish I'd had a way out of the room so I could just get
Yeah.
out of the room because I just really felt like it was kind of being forced down my throat. And then when I was running through Kempney, I saw the vicar and I was like, oh, and I was scared and I ran away the opposite direction. I was scared I might catch fire. I think that's the problem. I was scared I might catch fire as he was
But
talking.
I mean, I don't like organized religion either, and I'm always uncomfortable when there's any of it anywhere. Just yeah, I don't enjoy it at all. So I just sort of sit there in silence, staring at my feet, like you said. But before an event, but then if the race briefing's an hour long already, you've zoned, like, is it always an hour? Is it?
Yeah, it's always an
Is
hour
there
long
anything
because
of use in there?
there's always a theme. So it was Top Gun was the theme, and then there's always like loads of in jokes, and there's loads of like, oh, he does this thing where he's like, look at the two, he's like, half of you won't make it to the end. So introduce yourself to somebody you don't know. One of you's not going to make it. Who are you going to introduce yourself to? Like he does that, and then he's like, don't introduce yourself to Mark Derbyshire because you know that if you do, then you're the one that's not going to make it. La la la, bants bants bants, lol lol lol. But it was a long. But the other annoying thing is, it was like. The race briefing was at 4:30, so till 5:30 or 4 o'clock. It was at 4 o'clock till 5 o'clock. The race started at 6. So from 5 till 6, you were standing in a funnel with really loud music playing, waiting.
For an
That was
hour.
annoying for an hour. So I'm like, why can't you just do the race briefing at like 5 till 5:45? 5:45, we all go out, and 6 o'clock, we start racing because there was just a lot of hanging around. And that's like an hour where you haven't had anything to eat, you know? But luckily for me, I'd
Yeah.
eaten loads of, I was crunching Marks and Spencer's crisps as the psalm was being said. So it was fine. Body of Christ, etc. So I was fine and had loads of food in me, but it was just really fucking weird. On
Yeah.
a good note of Lakeland 100, the volunteers were incredible and there were fucking hundreds of them. And especially the registration was like, it was like an airport registration. It was like, there must have been 50 volunteers in that tent, you know, trackers, kit check, number,
Yeah.
car sticker for your car, like boom, 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 bag drop. It was so well organized. But yeah, but then with the brainwashing, I felt like I was being brainwashed. I was being told that God would save me on the hill when actually, you know, only
So
I can
then,
save me on the hill.
when you were doing it with Pegasus, how long was your race briefing for that?
3 minutes.
Yeah.
Actually, no, it was 5 minutes. I had the clipboard. I went through everything. You know, that I went through the health and safety stuff, you know, like do this, do that. Don't pick up fucking anything off the floor. Because sometimes people come, Reese is like, people will
Where's
pick
the
stuff
bullet?
up. Literally, they're like, oh, I found the bullet. Oh, I found this
Yeah.
parachute. Oh, I found this unexploded shell. And it's like, please don't bring that to me. One of the things that someone did bring to me was a skull that they'd run with for 40 miles. They'd found a sheep skull and they brought that back.
Is it full of
But
maggots like the one you last
no,
had?
it wasn't. It wasn't actually. It was very clean. But yeah, people bring back unexploded shrapnel. But my race briefing lasted 5 minutes, if that, and it was basically all the main points. And then you know the thing, all the stuff about women being incredible, shouldn't last longer than that, should it?
No,
People just
no
want to
one's
crack on.
listening.
Yeah.
No one's listening to any of it. Like, unless there's something that's changed, all the communication should be done through email in the build up to the event. Send one out like 2 or 3 days beforehand that's just copying everything else. And then that race briefing in the morning is, oh, by the way, the course has changed here because of something we found yesterday. Don't be an idiot. Here's the phone number if you have any problems. Have fun. Like, anything beyond that, that no one's listening.
I think that sometimes there is a part of a race director that wants to do the whole stand-up comedian thing, or wants to do the whole asserting their personality thing, and that's fine. And I think Lakeland does have there's a lot of love for Mark. There's a lot of love for that. But for me, I'm just like, I just want to fucking crack on. I'd much rather the race briefing was on YouTube and I could watch it and then tick a box and say, I've watched it. And then basically just say, is everybody okay? You've got the route on your watch. You know that it's going to rain. Have you got a jacket? Off you fuck. Like, I'd much rather that.
Yeah.
Anywho, it was weird. So what are you doing? What's coming up for you in the next month? Have you got any events you want to pimp?
I've got the Otter Challenge at Kingsbury Water Park on, I want to say, the 9th of September.
It's your race, Paul. You should know what date it is.
Either the 9th or the 7th. I get confused. It's one of the two. It's in September, early September. And then we'll speak again before that. And then we've got some more. I've only got two or three coming up before Christmas, I think. So not loads, but I'm going to start running. I'll have done before the next time we speak, I'd imagine I'll have done that drop race as well, I think. I haven't looked at the diary, but I think that's right. So we'll see what that's like, because I'm quite interested by the format of that.
Well, if anybody has any questions about volunteering or about anything we've talked about today, or about or any advice for Paul on training, or any advice for anyone on training with children in tow, please do let us know. Thanks, Paul. You've been great. This has been great. I hope people get very inspired to go and volunteer at some races after this, because it is important, isn't it? And fun.
Yes.
It's a fun very way much. To spend your day.
Yeah.
Okay. I love you. Bye.
Cheers.
Thank you for listening to the Bailey and Harding Ultrasound System, sponsored by Innovate. We would absolutely love it if you could just take 1 minute to visit the BritishPodcastAwards.com and vote for us in the Listener's Choice Award, because you're the listeners and we know that this is the choice that you want to make. It's the only choice. It's the best choice. Why not make it? Follow us on Instagram. It's Ultrasound System Pod. And on Facebook, we have a social group as well, so you can meet up with people in real life. We love you. We love everything about you. Keep your informations, your remembrances, your correspondences all coming in on the usual places. You can DM us, you can voice note us, you can do whatever you want. Email us if you want to. Send us a letter, why not? We love you. Please go and vote for us in the British Podcast Awards. Please, I'm begging you. Please. Thank you. Bye-bye.